You are either today justified or you're not. There's no gray area. There's no in between. There's no growth in justification. Don't confuse it with sanctification, the term the theologians use. For growth, for instance, and being set apart to God, that's a great term. In fact, all these terms we're going to see, propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, these are crucial truths. And don't think of them as just Christian cliches or lingo you don't understand. Listen, I didn't understand these words when I first came on to them, but I'll tell you what, God wants us to get to understand these. He wants us to get a grasp of what these things mean, different aspects of what He did for us at the cross. These are not Christian snob terms, you know, like just big words to throw around. These are great truths, and to be justified is to be declared righteous by God, the righteous one.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue in our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott begins a 7-part message titled Justification by Faith, and we invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Take your Bible and turn to Romans 3. Third chapter of Romans. It is a real privilege, isn't it, to worship the Lord, to sing praises to Him, and to stand in awe of Him. Paul began the book of Romans by saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God, the great theme of the gospel and the great theme of Romans. But we've been spending the first several weeks looking at the unrighteousness of man. Before Paul can even lay the foundation, if you compare, as we have, the book of Romans and the gospel presentation in Romans to the building of a large building, before he can lay the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, he must clear away the debris. Before man is ready to hear of God's righteousness in Christ, man's self-righteousness had to be cleared away. If you change the analogy, sometimes they tell me that when a man is drowning, the lifeguard has to actually knock them out, slug them to get their attention or to get them to quit panicking and quit trying to help and let the guy tow him to shore. And you can think of any number of analogies, but the point is this. We cannot be saved until we're ready to turn loose of our own righteousness. And so we've seen for 2.5 chapters quite a bit of man's unrighteousness, and it closed off last time with a whole list from the Old Testament, an indictment, if you will, and a verdict from God. Now, man doesn't always like to hear this. Today, we come to the good news, but getting there, man doesn't always like to hear it. In fact, sometimes it makes people mad. It makes people mad. I told somebody to read Romans recently. A man, he talked to me, and he said, that's a very negative book. And I said, well, yeah. I don't know if he read far enough to get to the positive. He said, very negative. I said, yeah, but you need to plow through that. You need to see that. And I can't help but quote Myrtle Gvonvig. Those of you who knew her, the sweet spirit, love for Christ, many, many years. But when I heard the news Friday morning that she was home with the Lord, I looked at her testimony that she'd written for me a few years ago. And she says, while studying, and this was about 1935, while studying at the Lutheran Bible Institute, I had heard several messages by Dr. Randolph on the book of Romans. That caught my eye. I became so angry after each one. That really caught my eye. I couldn't think of her that way. I'd seen her in her love for Christ, but back earlier in her life when she'd heard the book of Romans, the truth of Romans, she said, I became so angry after each one I was forced to ask for an interview with him. I waited a long week and wondered what I was going to say. He asked about my home life and the courses I was studying. He had me read some verses from the Bible, and she cuts to the quick. She says, I confessed my sins. And we knelt to pray. And I saw the Lord Jesus as the most beautiful angel I'd ever seen. He forgave my sins and filled me with so much peace and joy, I couldn't wait to tell everyone about my Savior and my newfound joy. She was angered by the message of Romans, and yet it brought her to her knees, and she found the joy of her life, Jesus Christ. And you know, that has happened time after time after time in the book of Romans. Even as I've had the privilege of teaching Romans, I've had many people just recently tell me how God has used Romans either now or in years past in another setting to get hold of their heart and their life. And sometimes there was that initial anger. In fact, Martin Luther, he confessed that this great theme of Romans, the righteousness of God, filled him with hate. That's what he said. In fact, listen to his words. He said, "I greatly long to understand Paul's epistle to the Romans." This was as a non-Christian. He wanted to understand. He sensed that he needed to understand the book of Romans. He said, "I greatly long to understand the epistle to the Romans. And yet nothing stood in the way but this one expression, the righteousness of God. Because I took it to mean that righteousness whereby God is righteous and deals righteously in punishing the unrighteous. Night and day I pondered," Luther wrote, "until I grasped the truth that the righteousness of God is that righteousness whereby through grace and sheer mercy he justifies us by faith. Thereupon," he says, "I felt myself to be reborn and to have gone through open doors into paradise. The whole of Scripture took on new meaning. And whereas before the righteousness of God had filled me with hate, now it became to me inexpressibly sweet in greater love. This passage of Paul became to me a gateway to heaven." What a confession. The righteousness of God, as he saw it as a sinner and as he saw his own sinfulness and his unrighteousness, it filled him with hate. But as he pondered the book of Romans and as God brought home the truth to him, he says, "This passage became to me a source of great joy, sweet grace." And he was filled with the love of God. He felt himself to be reborn. Now, we've come to that great turning point in Romans, verse 21 of chapter 3. After proving man unrighteous, God begins to open up the great gospel. And if I could put it this way, let me just say this. If man's great dilemma is that we're unrighteous, and that is our dilemma, we're sinful before a righteous God, I speak reverently when I say God's dilemma is how can he in righteousness save sinners? How can he declare sinners righteous? And both dilemmas are answered in these next 10 verses. In fact, verses 21 through the end of the chapter, I know if you're a legalist, it's 11 verses. I counted. But I'll tell you, the best 10 verses in the Bible, I think, on this great subject of justification. Let's just read them. "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since indeed God is one, and he will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Well, do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. Now, as I say, these 10 verses, oh, what a place to rest. What a place to stop and mull over God's grace in Christ. The righteousness of God available in Christ for sinners, and what God really accomplished at the cross. Alva McLean, Bible teacher from the Midwest years ago, he said, you know, if I had 6 verses, if you gave me 6 verses, that's all I could have, I'd take Romans 3, 21 through 26. And I so appreciate why he would say that. I would encourage you to memorize this passage. Mull it over. Read it. Reread it. Prayerfully read it. Spend time with it. The great subject here is justification. Justification. You see, the righteousness of God is what Paul is talking about. And justification, righteousness, right, just, all these words come from the same root. And 58 times in Romans, in fact, he uses these terms. And what he's after and what he's going to explain is this great truth of justification, whereby God declares sinners righteous on the merit of what Jesus Christ did. Now, we're not even going to get to how he can do that today. That's later on. I mean, you can read it. We just read it. But I want us to take a good look at this and get the big picture and then look at the specifics. And I would encourage you to ask God to really give you a handle on this. You know, people who are well established in this particular portion of Romans, there's a stability that comes into your life when you really understand this matter of justification. Don't confuse it with growth. We grow in grace. We don't grow in justification. Justification is a legal term. God declares you righteous once and for all. You are either today justified or you're not. There's no gray area. There's no in between. There's no growth in justification. Don't confuse it with sanctification, the term the theologians use. For growth, for instance, and being set apart to God. That's a great term. In fact, all these terms we're going to see, propitiation, reconciliation, redemption, justification. These are crucial truths. And don't think of them as just Christian cliches or lingo you don't understand. Listen, I didn't understand these words when I first came on to them, but I'll tell you what, God wants us to get to understand these. He wants us to get a grasp of what these things mean. Different aspects of what he did for us at the cross. These are not Christian snob terms, you know, like just big words to throw around. These are great truths. And to be justified is to be declared righteous by God, the righteous one. All who are justified will be sanctified, but don't confuse the two. Don't confuse it with mere innocence or forgiveness even. You know, sometimes just to get people a handle on what these words mean, somebody will say, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's a crummy way to do definitions. You know what I mean? That's really not what it's after. Yes, it involves the fact that we're forgiven and that, yes, we stand innocent before God. But it's so much more than that. He has declared us righteous. So don't confuse it with mere forgiveness. Now, it involves that. And in some sense, there's a sense in which even the Bible will use them synonymously, in the sense that when he gets to David here, every Christian, I think, can relate to David. When David is brought into the argument in chapter 4, his justification was expressed when he just expressed his blessedness for being forgiven, because he'd sensed the guilt of his sin. So justification includes forgiveness, but don't limit it merely to forgiveness. This right standing we have with God because he has declared us righteous. Now, let's look at it, and let me just give you a broad sweep. First of all, the nature of it, it's by faith, not works. The ground of it, we'll see, and not today really, but later weeks as we look at this, is the substitutionary work of Christ at the cross. The object of it is the salvation of sinners and the demonstration of God's righteousness, and the result, There's several. Verse 27, there won't be any boasting. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. There'll be no boasting before God or before man, except in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, God will be glorified, and he will be glorified as the God of all, Jew and Gentile alike. So we'll take a look at the whole passage and we'll see these great truths. But today, verse 21 and 22, I want to underline three great truths that he underlines for us. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested. First point. Justification is not by law. God does not justify on any kind of ground of human merit. Notice how he starts it. But now, apart from the law. This phrase comes like a great sigh of relief, because Paul has just proven that we are sinful, that the law can't save us, that no flesh will be justified by the works of the law. And then he says, but now, apart from the law. You know, the Bible often does this. Over in Ephesians, he'll take you low, and then he'll use this phrase, but now. He takes you low in Ephesians and tells you what you were made of, what you and I are made of. We were born in sin. That we were by nature children of wrath. And then he says, but God, being rich in mercy. And then he does it again down in verse 12 and 13. He says how far we were excluded from God and all the blessings, without hope, without God in this world. And then he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And when I come to verse 21, I just sigh, don't you? But now, apart from the law. I remember how John Mitchell used to say that. But now. And he was the one who was teaching me the great truths of Romans, and I was so enjoying it, and I would remember this phrase, but now. When I was just a baby, my grandfather died, and Grandma remarried, when I was just a little guy, a godly man from Ireland. And I grew up knowing him as my grandpa on that side. And after I had had the chance to really get my feet into Romans and sink my roots into Romans and really enjoy Romans, I remember one time discussing Romans with him. And I just kind of mentioned it, and he, with his Irish accent, I can't say it like he did, but he said, oh, that little phrase. And he just kind of, his eyes went off, and he said, that little phrase in chapter 3, but now. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. And I rejoiced with him, and we had a great time sitting out on the patio talking about the great joy of justification apart from the law. The law was never given to justify. Justification is apart from, on wholly different ground than legal ground. So many are confused here. I meet people all the time. Maybe you are. Whole churches are. You'll have whole denominations that have drifted off into, they'll say, we teach the Ten Commandments. And they would say other truths about Christianity, and they maybe in their doctrine could rattle it off. Truth, it seems, about Christ, but when it comes, push comes to shove, they say, we hold to the Ten Commandments, and they'll even have parents, boy, you promise to teach these commandments to your children, and kind of take up legal ground and basically lose sight. And whole bodies of people seeking to earn favor with God through keeping the law somehow. And many, many confused here. Cults, of course, they spread confusion here. As if man, every cult, every system of error always works on the principle that man can earn favor with God, that man can have legal standing with God on his own. I was talking to a cultist, I won't tell you, as a leader of a cult group, I won't tell you which group. We were on the 28th floor of an office building in Salt Lake City. And their office building. And we wanted to discuss this matter, and we set up some ground rules. And I said, you know, we didn't want to just argue. And I said, I think we should just hold to what the Bible says. Just use the Bible, not what we say, but what the Bible says. And he said, that's what I agree. We'll do that. We believe the Bible. We'll just, that would be our main ground rule. We'll just use the Bible. And we're talking about justification. And of course, he was saying, as all these groups do, that you can justify yourself and that you have to play your part. And I was saying, no, the law, you cannot be justified by the works of the law. In fact, the Bible says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. And he said, well, the Bible doesn't say that. And I said, well, it does. And he says, no, the Bible doesn't say that. And I said, no, the Bible says whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point is guilty of all. And he says, the scripture doesn't say that. Well, it was almost embarrassing. I had to turn to James 2 and show him that that's exactly what James 2 verse 10 says. Well, he did what people do. He pushed the Bible aside and he says, that doesn't matter. And he broke every ground rule in our interview because he wouldn't believe what the scripture says. Individuals are very confused about this. Whole groups teach error here. You know, today, a lot of people have lowered the standard. They don't bother to try to keep the law, God's law anymore. We've talked about it in the first couple chapters of Romans. Many people just say, as long as you try your hardest, you know, just do your best. That's all that counts, and think that you can somehow be right with God that way. I was talking to a man one time, and I was trying to press on him that God is righteous and that he sees right through. And I used verse 16 of chapter 2. I said, God, Paul wrote that according to my gospel, there's a day coming when God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. And I said, God will judge you for your secrets. And he looked at me and he said, I'm the kind of guy that doesn't have any secrets. And I said to him, God will judge you for your lies. And he paused and he looked at me and he said, you mean what I just said? And I said, I mean exactly what you just said. The arrogance of man. So many think they can come to God on some sort of legal ground, as if they can earn favor apart from the law. Look at verse 20. Through the law comes the knowledge of sin. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Turn over to Galatians 2. Look at Galatians chapter 2 with me. You know, Galatians is often called the mini Romans. And the Bible says this everywhere. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Chapter 3, verse 11. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Justification by Faith, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. If you don't have a church home in the area, Pastor Scott would love to invite you to join us in person for our Sunday worship services at Southwest Bible Church. That's each Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m. at the church located at the corner of Southwest Murray and Weir Road in Beaverton. You can go to our website at swbible.org for more details. We hope to see you there. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
God is looking for faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. 40 times, in fact, in Romans you'll find faith. 18 times in this chapter and chapter 3 alone. Faith. God wants to be believed. It's always been this way. You know, we're always occupied with ourselves. Man comes to Jesus. Remember in John 6, they came to him and they said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" I mean, talk about doing and working and works, you know. What must we do to work the works of God? What'd Jesus say? "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." This is what God is looking for today. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled Justification by Faith. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.